What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Thank you so much for showing up. We're going to keep bringing it because we love this stuff. And recently, we did a presentation on the whole idea, if you're a small practice, how do you make a big impact and thrive in a changing dental market? It was so good with my co-host, Miranda Beeson. I thought, we got to share this on the podcast. So here's the audio version. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. So today we're going to be talking about small practice, big impact, thriving in a changing market. And so I'm super excited about this because, and again, I have to say this, like I still have people that talk to me every week and they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh gosh, I've been doing this for a long time. Anyway, we help dentists, you know, and we coach dental teams and we don't coach teams that are necessarily broken. Yes, there are people that come to us and they need everything that we have to offer. But most of the teams, I'd say 80 some percent of them come to us. They're actually excellent and they're just trying to figure out what to do next. And I'll say this as carefully as I can. It's really easy to get better when you suck at something. And I'm not saying you suck at something. Please don't. But the better you get, the harder it is to get better. Does that make sense? Like it was really easy. Like when you open your doors, you just started treating people nice. You took a course, you learned how to do this thing. And you're like, wow, that was a big impact. Then you hired your first team member who took a lot of the responsibility off your shoulders. And you're like, wow, that thing got better. Then you got Miranda as a coach and wow, things got better. But then there's a certain point where you reach this, you hit the ceiling. And you're like, wow, the gains aren't as big as they are. And what we do is challenge people to get through those gains. When you hit those ceilings, the only thing that breaks them is you have to think differently. You got to change the way you think because working harder, adding hours, more manpower doesn't give you the gains anymore. You got to think better. And so today we're going to talk to you. We're going to share with you how to think better in this world. But before we do, let me go down that path a little bit more about what we do. You might be thinking, gosh, I'm showing up this webinar for the first time. And I'm like, what do? We have built an entire ecosystem, a community to support independent practice so that you can make your own decisions. You can go to work on your own terms. You can choose how to care for people. You can have that freedom that you wanted in the very first place so that you could go to your kid's baseball game at 4 o'clock when you want to. Who cares how big and awesome and cool the practice is? At the end of the day, time is the new rich, you know, and you can say, what an amazing day today. And I'm sitting here at my kid's baseball game. How beautiful is that? That's when you really like cherish the moments that you get to do this in this great profession. And doing so, we have all these resources. So we built them in 3 levels. And you could start your journey however you want to start. You're like, I don't know. These people are kind of a little strange, but I want to start the journey on my own. Go ahead, knock yourself out. Go back and join the Best Practices Association. You're going to see we have thousands of resources back there and videos to help you on the journey, and you could do it on your own. The second way you can do this is you can do it in a group. It's very hard to do anything successfully on your own, and you can be with other dentists that think just like you, that are in different towns. And what's really cool, when somebody's in the same business as you in a different town, they share everything because they don't care. Like, here's what works. And we have an amazing group called the To the Top Study Club. We actually have a golden ticket that I'll share with you at the end. You can come for free. Check it out. Kick the tires. If you don't like it, you don't have to stay. I know that won't happen. But we have this group, and you can join this group. And then lastly, if you've tried everything and you're just like, I'm just too busy, I don't even know how to do this, you can hire a pro coach like Miranda who will kick your butt every single month and make you do this. Eh, she won't kick your butt. She'll be nice to you. But sometimes she can say things to your team in a way that you can't say them. We have a coach. Her name is Jamie. Like, I say things all the time, and people are like, oh, here he goes again. Jamie comes in and says one sentence, and they're like, she's amazing. I'm like, I have said that 5,000 times. Not quite like that, but, like, I've said the same thing. And they're like, but she's amazing. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Sometimes they just can't hear it from you. They have to hear it from somebody else who does this, who's an expert. So that's an option, and that's level three. And, you know, you can actually join. If you take your phone or your photo thing over the QR code, you can join it and start the journey. And I promise you, you'll love it. You'll see a whole community of people back there ready to support you and help you every step of the way. Anything you would add, Miranda, before we go?
No, I threw the link in the chat. If anybody's not in the BPA, you can click there and sign right on up.
Yeah.
Hang out with us.
She's so nice. But behind the scenes, we call her Mo-randa. That's when she shows up at a meeting and you're like, okay, let's just do what she says. She's going to make things happen today. So we're going to see who
Very persuasive.
We're going to see who shows up today. So again, we're going to be talking to just like, you might be thinking, well, I have a small practice. I want to make a big impact and thrive in a changing market. We're going to show you exactly how to do that today. But let's start with the big picture. The why is the most important piece. And we love looking at the research and the data. And according to a research brief published in 2025 from the ADA and the Health Policy Institute, you got to check it out, man. They have some amazing stats back there. Practice ownership rates among U.S. dentists has been slowly declining, not massively declining, slowly declining. There's a lot of fake news out there saying, well, you know, DSOs will own 90% of all. That is absolutely not true. It has declined, but not nearly as what people think. And as of 73% of dentists are practice owners, it's down 85% from 85%. So it went from 85% to 73%. And there's a lot of reasons.
But that's over 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's telling that story that you're saying. I'm like, there's a myth out there,
right,
that private practice ownership is going away. And that, you know, you can't survive in this market as a private practice solo practitioner. And that's just not true. And yeah. So we want to talk a little bit about how you can thrive in the world today. And really, some of these stats that are coming up are really exciting too, about what people realize after they've been out there in practice for a few years.
Yeah. And as you're going to see, she's the smart one. I'm just the idea guy. So, like, she's going to add context to these ideas. So, you know, what's intriguing is that practice ownership still remains the end game. So a lot of people steer away from it and then they come back to it. Tell us a little bit more, Miranda.
Yeah. So the biggest thing is, you know, when people first get out into private practice, they're not exactly sure maybe what they want to do. And so it used to be a bigger trend that a significant amount of doctors would graduate or dentists would graduate and they would go into practice ownership. And what we're seeing, and actually I think if you go to the next slide, it might even be there, that there's this trend that early on, say, you know, 5 to 10 years out of school, a lot of dentists go into an associateship. And then what we're noticing is these trends that towards the later part of their career, mid to later part of their career, they're transitioning into wanting to leave and go in to private practice. And there's some key data, if you go forward one more, that is pretty interesting when you look at that. The biggest thing is freedom. And I think that what we're noticing through the data is that they're out in the world, you know, and look, we say this all the time. There is a place for corporate dentistry in the profession. And we're not, you know, anti that. But what we do want to do is help explain the beauty of entrepreneurship and really foster that. And so that's where it comes, is within the freedom. And so within the same, a similar report, same source, ADA, the Health Policy Institute, then 2023, they did some data around what are dentists experiencing that's different when you leave that DSO associateship model and go into ownership. And so much of it is around freedom. So again, going from 32% to 94%, that's massive, by way of feeling freedom and clinical autonomy and satisfaction in their clinical autonomy when they're able to step away from an associateship and lean into ownership. Business decision influence, having a say and how this business functions, maybe the products that we use or the processes that we follow or the people that we hire. Massive increase in that data, 7% up to 75%. And what that data is really telling us is that that a lot of doctors really crave that freedom to create the practice that they want. And you say it best, and I'll let you take it from here, is, you know, it's a noble profession. You can do the type of dentistry that you want to do with the people you want to do it with, on the people that you want to do it on, when you own your own practice and when you have that freedom. So I just think the data piece is super cool to see that you might hear these myths or these stories that it's going away or it's not thriving anymore. But what we see is that when people dip their toe, end game, they want that freedom and that control over their life. And that better practice, better life comes from that entrepreneurship piece and really being able to have some autonomy in the decisions that you make in your practice.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And so I got to be careful about how I say this because I am very passionate about this and I am very biased. Like, I don't think there's any job security in the future at all other than owning your own thing. And so, like a lot of you that became dentists, if you really go back to why you became a dentist, it was something inspired you. It was a neighbor. It was a person down the street who just had a different life. It was somebody you talked to. It was the idea of treating people the way you wanted to do it, to be creative without restriction. And so as you look at these elements, you look at insurance, you lose control on choices. People are making choices for you. You know, working for someone else, you learn this, like you don't make any decisions at all. They make all the decisions. So, you know, there's always good and bad in this, and you have to really do some self-reflection. But there's nothing better, I'll say from my vantage point, than going in knowing you're creating something that's a reflection of your values, your vision, how you want to practice. You get to set your own fees. You get to hire your own team. You get to choose what patients you see when. Oh my gosh, is that amazing or what? And so when you have those elements, that's when you say this is the greatest profession ever. When you lose those elements, you say this is terrible. This is not what I wanted. So we got to put our finger on where this stress comes from. And that's why I'm so passionate about this, is watching dentists step by step, month over month, reclaim their freedom and do it the way they want to do it. And so when you have a voice, like that's when it starts to take off. That's when you thrive. That's when private practice delivers. The opportunity lies, though, in not being the same, because your comprehensive aesthetic practice that aspires to excellence, it's in a sea of sameness, my friends. It sounds, I know you think it's different, but it sounds all the same. And the opportunity lies in differentiation. So that is the key. And tightening up the operational gaps. Anything you want to add, Miranda, on that?
No, I mean, I think that's the biggest piece. I'll share just anecdotally, because it's always fun to hear a real life story. I was actually just recently talking with a client, and this client has a fantastic practice. And they, years ago, were working with an agency that said more, 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 more. And so again, just to like highlight where we're going with this webinar, you know, take as many, you know, insurance as you can, get as many patients in the door as you can, build out assisted hygiene, fill the ops. By the way, as soon as you do that, I want you to build another building. I want you to put in more ops and get another associate. And this was a practice that originated with two doctors, you know, an hour or more per patient, a 90-minute, two-hour new patient exam. And they transitioned into this just like, you got to grow to survive model. And they got burnout. They got burnout so fast. They got burnout. Their team got burnout. And you know what really happened was that the patients started to feel a difference in what this practice felt like when they walked through the door. And it transitioned from feeling like this relationship-based family practice to, I mean, they could feel the churn and burn that was happening in the practice. And so they shifted gears. They came to us. Love that for them. And we have taken the time to really stop and pull the curtain back on, like, do we need more to really thrive? Can you be a little smaller and not focus on growth and getting bigger? Like you always say, bigger is not always better. And over time, leaning into these two principles of differentiation and looking at these operational gaps has started to swing that pendulum back for them into, you know, now they went from 16 hygiene patients a day in an assisted hygiene column to, you know, 12, and starting to give a little more time back to the patients where they don't feel quite as rushed. And sometimes it means we don't need 4 associates. We need 2.5. And we need to give people all of our devoted time and attention. And so when you differentiate yourself and you look at the operational gaps, you can really win with less. And that's what this doctor is really starting to feel, is this like relief, this pressure valve that's been released that they felt under for so long. And it's really great to be able to see that and to help someone say, you know, you can function in this, what they would say is a small practice. They're really not a small practice. They have, you know, 2.5 full-time doctors. I'd say they're a little more mid-sized, but in this big mindset world of like bigger is better that we keep, you know, hearing rumblings of out there, it feels small, and it's okay to be small, and you can still thrive as a small practice. And that's what we're here to help you do. But these are two key elements that definitely can help you do it.
Yeah. And people skip over this all the time. This is the key. You know, one of the questions we get a lot from great practices, how do I get off these PPOs? Like, how do I get out of this? It's not about writing a letter. It's not about raising your fees. You have to be different. Like people have to look at you and say, I come to you because of you, and this place is crazy different. I understand that I have blah, 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 and I'm coming to you because of you. When you do that, you win. And so many people miss that. They just, they're looking for the quick fix. Like, you got to put your flag in the ground and go, we're different. Lulu is not Athleta. I don't know why I just said that, because my family will argue it's not the same thing. I'm like, it is the same thing. They're like, it's not the same thing. People are loyal to certain brands that they're like, that's the person. And if you look at major markets, I used to do this with specialists all the time. Like, you'd ask any periodontist back in the day, who's the best? There was only 2. There was not 9. There's like, if you're going to do this right, there's only 2 people in town you go to. Actually, 1. You know what I mean? There are people that have built a reputation on doing what they do. And if you've ever done this, you see it happen. People come in and go, I hear you're the person that does this. I know you don't take my insurance. I guess I have to pay. Like, you're very expensive, but I'm ready to do this. And you go, thank you. Come on back. So, and that happens as a result of differentiation. And your team feels it too, man. They love when you step into different. They don't want to work for a same practice. They want to work for a different practice. So let's talk about what that means. Step number one, you don't have to worry about like getting your logo. Yeah, this is another thing. People send me their logo. I'm like, logo, your logo is not your brand. Okay. It's a logo. It doesn't make your practice different because you have a cool logo or website. Like, it starts with the internal vision first. Who are your core customers? When you look at the people that sit in your chair, who are those people that are your core customers, that if you had more of them, your life would be better and your practice would be better? You have to identify your core customer, because more is not better. They're your favorite people. They care about the same things that you care about. They come in, you talk to them, they respond. Your least favorite people are the ones that don't care about the same things that you care about, but you're still looking for more. Because when you find the right people, they refer other people who are just like them in your chair. It's so cool. The second piece of it is, after you identify your core customer, are your core competencies. These are truly strengths. These are things that you are really good at. Not that you think you're good at them or you'd like to be good at them. You're good at them. People have recognized you're really good at this. You've worked really hard. You're better than most. And they set you apart from others. For instance, like, we have some people that are amazing at composite dentistry, like amazing. Some at concert sedation, some at airway. Like, they're really good at it, amazing at it. And those are things that they usually excel. Now, one more thing I'll just add about competencies. When you take the time to reflect what you're really good at, like your unique ability, you get energy from trying to be better at it. And you're never satisfied. You never go, I'm there, I've made it. No, anyone that identifies a core competency, they work at it, they get more energy as they work at it, and they're constantly improving. It's never exhausting to work on your unique ability. It gives you energy. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And these two things go together.
Right.
It's really important to do this reflective time before we go and inform who are we going to differentiate ourselves as and who are we trying to serve. Thinking about core customer and this idea of, big versus small and how do you thrive as a small practice? I would argue that if you are the type of practice, if we tie all this together, if you're the type of practice who considers a core competency the fact that you are well-versed in, say, oral systemic health and the integration of whole body health and mouth, and we're doing a lot around that in dentistry by way of salivary testing and the bacterial side, we also have practices who are leaning into that sleeping side and myofunctional and tying in the whole body. So if that's core competencies for you, I have a practice I work with who very much believes in this philosophy of patient care. Then, and you're leaning into wanting to have a core group of customers then that also value looking at their oral health as a big picture. Then 10 new patients that also value that are so much more valuable than 30 new patients
right.
who want a free cleaning and eyes glaze over when you ask them about if they snore or not, or you bring up their medication history and they fight with you about filling out their health history because, you know, the blood doesn't flow from the mouth to the rest of the body in their mind. So 30 new patients could be a bragging point for somebody. But it's probably not a bragging point for you because you'd rather have 10
yeah.
really solid core customers that join your practice that also value the same things you value, that are looking for the type of practice that you're delivering or the type of care you're delivering. I think about healthcare in the same way. I'm willing to spend something out of pocket to be with a provider that's going to look at me when they ask me questions about my health, or doesn't repeat the exact same questions the nurse just asked when she wheeled in a computer. There's a lot of people that are now seeking out concierge yep. medical practices. They're willing to pay $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 for an annual like membership for these medical practices because they're craving a personal, customized, comprehensive approach to looking at their health. And there's a lot of dentists that are really leaning into that as well. And if you are just throwing mailers out there that say $49, you know, new patient visit, you're not connecting the message
right.
of what you're really trying to create. And so that's where stopping and looking at what are we trying to create here? What type of dentistry are we trying to do here? And who are the people that want that as well, that we want to serve, and getting the whole team aligned around that, it really helps you to kind of lean into that conviction and say, you know, we can do this yeah. in this way.
Amen, sister. I love that. We could spend a half hour on that one because really the limiter for this is the dentist and how they're, so sure. if you're a dentist listening to this, like you have to believe, I believe this, you don't have to, but you should, you have to believe that dentistry is one of the best investments a human being can make. And you have a gift for helping them with that. You should be like, this is one of the best investments you'll ever make. I can prove to you statistically, it's going to improve the quality of your life, possibly the longevity. I know that what happens in the hole under your nose has a great impact on the rest of your life. And I can help you get there. I mean, I'm going off the rails with you guys, but like that start, like a lot of dentists, and this is the sad part about our job, is a lot of people that I meet, they're like, well, it's just dentistry. Like people, nobody wants to pay for dentistry. They say this, nobody wants to pay for dentistry and nobody wants to go to the dentist. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't want to work for you if you believe that. Like, start with better beliefs so that we can all start to communicate confidently with patients that you're in the right place. We're going to help you. And so I think that's really, really important. You also have to identify your weaknesses. There are a lot of things that all of us are bad at. I actually did an exercise where I had to fly to strategic coach, if you guys have ever been there. Dan Sullivan has a workshop called the Unique Ability Exercise. I actually went, took it. And it was amazing. I came back and Barb, who was working in her office, I'm like, I just took this amazing course. I found out I suck at a lot of things. She's like, you had to take a course for that? I'm like, yes. And so you have to list all the things that you love and you loathe and blah, blah, blah. And you basically narrow it down to like, you're really good at like four things and you're terrible at a whole bunch of things. when you are completely honest with yourself or somebody else is honest with you as a leader, you can start to focus on the few things, and I do mean few, that you're really good at, and you can stay away from your weaknesses. There's so much energy in this universe for helping people strengthen their weaknesses. And I'm like, don't do that. There's a reason I don't do the QuickBooks here at ACT Dental. It would be a disaster every single month. So what are the weaknesses of your practice as a whole? It's very important to be fully vulnerable and honest with yourself here. Anything you would add, Miranda?
No, I think you leaned into a good piece of it, which is identifying your weaknesses and then taking that next layer of, are any of these things that we want to improve on or I should work on? Versus, are there things that, like, I'm just okay that that's a weakness and we're right. not going to do that here. again, I mentioned the team that I work with who focuses on overall well-being, like, she doesn't do dentures. She doesn't do just a flat out dentures. She struggles with them. She struggles to, you know, help people be satisfied through them. And she says, you know, I have a great prostodontist that if you want true, you know, full denture, no implant, I'm going to send you right over there. And she's just really come to resolve with herself that, like, that's not my wheelhouse.
Right.
And that's fine. You know, I'm going to lean into what is. Right. Now, there might be things that you identify in your weaknesses that you think, you know, it would really benefit me, the team, the practice to lean into improving on these. And that's where you got to know what they are before you know what road to go down.
Totally. And I was going to piggyback right into that. You know, again, there's so much chatter. The problem with dentistry, there's only one. There's so much information and so much chatter. You don't even know who to listen to anymore. And there's so much push to be a super dentist. And so the young dentist, I love.
Did you say super dentist?
Super dentist or whatever you call it. I don't
like,
even know.
That's amazing. I've never heard that.
You've never
before.
Heard super dentist?
A cape with a big tooth on it.
What do they call? I mean, there's so many different names for the super dentist. Like, it's like, do everything. Because you can keep all this in-house. Like, and the young dentist that I meet, and have fun with me for a little bit, are like, I love endo. And I'm like, no, you don't. And they go, no, I love it. And I go, no, you don't. You're a GP. You don't love it. And they go, no, I do. And I'll say, you've never seen endo done at a very, very high level. It's so well done. And then I see them like 4 years later and they're like, you're right. I hate endo. I'm like, oh gosh. You know what I mean? Like, you got to cut your losses early. Spend your time doing the things that you love and you're really good at it. And then you lose track of time. It's that whole flow thing where you're like, I don't even know what happened today, but that was amazing. Holy moly. So, and then lastly, you got to build a strategy with it. You don't have to do this overnight. That's why we're big fans of the EOS, you know, traction system. We're quarter over quarter. We can just do one thing, one or two things where we're executing on this strategy and we're starting to make this happen. A lot of times people try to go to zero, from zero to 100 on these things. Don't do that. Let's do a few things every quarter, stay consistent, and you'll find over time, it transforms your practice. The second piece of this is you have to identify the operational gaps. There are gaps. I mean, every practice has these. Even the very, very best practices we have ever seen have these gaps. And there's potential that lives in them. There's also profit that's just sitting in there or it's wasted in these gaps. And there's four of them. The first one is the effort gap. And this effort gap is all of the things at the top before you actually collect a dollar. Let me explain. Their gross production, which I think is one of the worst metrics in dentistry today, I consider it a false proxy. People say, I produce $4 million. I'm like, no, you, well, that might be what your computer says, but that's not really what you produce. Do you know what I mean? That's your potential production, collection, blah, blah, blah. And let me just back up in this. When people say I produce 1.5, let's say you have a buddy and your buddy does 1.5 and you do 1.5. It's not the same thing. Your buddy might write off 33% and you write off 10%. It's not the same practice. Those are completely different entities. And so the effort gap is this. It's gross production. It's days worked. It's write-offs, it's write-off percentage, all of those things. There's a mountain of opportunity there. People come to us with a 33% write-off or more. And what that means is you're writing off 33%. meaning you're working one out of every 3 days for free. And I would argue you're working more than one out of 3 days for free because you're actually paying everybody and you're not collecting a dime. You just glove up, see all these patients, and give your heart and soul to these people for free. Don't do that. And our coaching team tightens up that gap. So whatever it is, make sure you tighten up the effort gap. The second gap is the collections gap. So once you do that, and you don't have to get off of all PPOs. Let me say that as clearly as possible. Sometimes we get people that are on every PPO under the sun. Let's cut that in half. Let's go to 50% PPO and then maybe 25% PPO. And you decide where you want to go. Every movement they make, the more dollars fall to the bottom line on profitability. And the more time they get back. It's amazing. There's a second gap called the collections gap. The collections gap is the difference between net production and collections. So you might net produce a certain dollar amount, like $1.2 million, but you're collecting 95% of that. And a lot of people think that's great. And I love how Robin says that on our team. That might be an A in the classroom, but that is a D in practice management. You know, you got to collect 100% of every dollar that is owed to you. And that can be done very easily with the right training and the right systems in place. Miranda, what are your thoughts?
I just like to put dollars and cents to it. And so anyone that's listening, let's just throw out like what this looks like. So it's pretty, let's say $1 million practice. Say your gross production is $1 million. You're, you know, maybe a one doctor, one and a half doctor practice, and your gross production is $1 million. And you're feeling really good about that. This is maybe the first year you've hit $1 million, and you're like, we're part of the $1 million club. Woo-woo. You buy, you know, candy bars for your whole team. And then you don't have money in the bank and you're so confused. But let's just talk about the effort gap and then how it feeds into the collection gap with dollars. So you're $1 million practice, you gross produced $1 million, you're really excited, but then your write-offs are 40%. It is not uncommon for me to see a team writing off 40%. It is probably more common than not. So that's $400,000 right off the jump that you're never going to see it, right? It's 40%. And so when we're looking at that, just, am I doing the math right? I see you squinting.
No, I can't do any math. That's why I'm squinting.
I was going to say, I'm doing it in my head. Am I right? Yeah.
You are right.
And so if you reduce that by even 10% and you go from a 40% write-off effort gap to a 30%, it's $100,000 that you're now putting in the bank that you weren't before.
Right.
Right. You go from 40% to 20%. It's $200,000. $200,000 that you're putting in the bank or being able to use in your practice that you weren't able to do before. And so when we really put dollars and cents to it, it sounds silly to say, you know, sometimes we go like, okay, what's the difference between 40% and 35%? What's the difference between 40% and 30%? It's hundreds of thousands of dollars in your business. And then that layers into collections. And yes, it's so important to make sure you're collecting 100%, but let's just follow that same path. You're at $1 million, but now you're writing off 40%. So now you're at 600,000. And then you're only collecting, I don't know, 95%. We're not even able to then get that full 600,000, right? There's a chunk of that now that isn't going to end up in our bank at the end of the day or be able to be used in our practice. And so the point of this, as you listen to Kirk talk about these gaps, is really sit down when we're done with all this, look at your numbers and say, okay, wait, where am I at with my gross versus my net?
Yeah.
How much am I writing off? And if I change that by even 5% or by 10%, how much more would I be able to collect? Okay, now let's look at what are we collecting. And like you said, I love Robin's phrase too. 96 is an A in school, but 96% in collections is not an A.
No.
Because it is tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars for some practices that once it's out there, the likelihood that we're getting it diminishes every single day. Once it hits our AR, the likelihood that it will be in our bank account at some point, even though it's owed to us, diminishes every single day.
Yeah.
And so collecting 100% right now is the best way to help support our small private practice and help to make sure that it thrives. So I just want to like throw those numbers on it so that as we go through the process of these gaps, you're starting way $1 million. Woohoo.
Right.
And before you know it, you know, we've diminished that down. I've seen it happen. Two practices, right? $5 million. And one of them at the end of the day is profiting maybe $2,000 and the other one, you know, a month, and the other one's at $30,000. And so it's just a matter of like what's happening and all these little operational gaps within your practice. So yeah, sorry to interrupt, but you can keep filling in the scoop on what the next couple are. But I just wanted to put those dollars to it because sometimes like we have to think really granularly of like how this looks in my practice.
Yeah, don't ever apologize for interrupting because it's brilliant. I love how you said that so well. That is so crazy important. And I just have to piggyback for a second because the cool thing about this webinar or our podcast, I want you to keep showing up. Here's why. We're going to tell you the truth. You don't have to like it. You don't. I love this profession so much, and there's so much crap out there that we have to unwind it all. We get these great people, and I'm like, where did you hear that? And they're like, well, so-and-so said that. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so there's a term that's used in dentistry. It's called growth mode. We're just in growth mode. What the hell is that? People. So I'm going to speak to the ego of a dentist who's listening to this, who's like, no, you don't understand, Miranda. Like, I don't really want a small practice. I want a big practice because I want to get away, and I'm going to sell this at some point because I'm going to scale it. I'm going to sell it. You know, because I'm going to make millions when I sell it. No, you won't. I'll tell you why. Because you're going to get into growth mode. You're going to add all of these ops. And at some point, you're going to have 18, 19 operatories, maybe. Okay. It is crazy to me how many practices we get that produce 4 million or 6 million and they have no money. Like no money. Do you know how dangerous that is? To have that much volume and have no money. You are running on thin air. Like you are this close to going under when you do, don't do that. And you're only doing it because you've heard it, add ops. Well, meanwhile, everything's getting tightened all around you and you don't even know why because you're not auditing EOBs and you have no idea what's happening. You're just putting an ad on Indeed trying to find the next person to service all of these operatories. Don't think like that. Think like right-sizing. And then you're going to say, well, I'm just going to sell this to a DSO. Well, once you get to that point, here's what happens. You've calculated your EBITDA. They have a different term. It's called adjusted EBITDA. They are not even close to each other. And if I owned all of those DSOs, which I would never do that, but like if I did, we're only going to buy profitable practices and we're only going to give you a multiple of an EBITDA. And it's not the same thing. I'm going to give you an adjusted multiple. Like you're going to be greatly disappointed when you get in that room and they show you what they're going to offer for your practice. And you're like, I gave my heart and soul to this. I worked on Fridays. I worked on evenings. I missed kids' games to service this monstrosity. And that's all I'm going to get in this whole process. Now, I'm passionate about this because you got to be careful of what you're building. And when you do the gaps, here's you might get stressed out by what I just said. But here's the cool part. If you do the gaps, it's right there. Like it's all right. The data doesn't lie. It just tells you right in front of you. The third operational gap is the overhead gap. Now, overhead is not overhead. Back in the day, people used to say, what's your overhead? 54%. Mine's 52%. It's not the same thing anymore. Like overhead just encompasses everything. And it's a function of your collections against your true business expenses. And they ultimately affect your true profit. Now, at the end of the day, you have what's called your cash flow gap. And that's the last gap. That's the difference between your gross profit and your true profit. What lies in the middle of there are things like loan payments, taxes, all that stuff. I tell this story, like when I first started ACT, I got this line of credit. It was $50,000. I was like, wow, man, it's like cool money. I could just transfer into the business account. Well, I transferred it to grow and use it. And then I started paying it off. I'm like, well, I'm paying it off $5,000 a month. That's tax deductible. No, it's not. I argued with my accountant. My accountant's like, that's not deductible. I'm like, I'm paying this off. He's like, buddy, you got to learn. Like, that's not a deductible expense. The other thing you learn is once you get that big, one of the challenges of improving your profit is you become a bigger taxpayer. At some point, the government's going to take 40%, no matter what. And you know where that money comes? It comes from your cash. And so that doesn't show up on your P&L. I think, lastly, I got to get out of this because I love this stuff so much. I got to be careful. Your P&L is one of the worst tools to run a business. It's important, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't tell the story. Cash flow gaps tells the whole story. I want to know where every potential dollar went from production down into your bank account, and that tells the whole story. These are systems and processes at play every single day in your practice. And if you don't have the time to do this, this is why you hire a great coach. I have watched Miranda single-handedly turn some of the largest practices that are amazing into wildly profitable operations. And my first question is, how did you do that? So I'm going to ask you, Miranda, how did you do that?
Well, the first thing is like stop and look at the information. A lot of times it's just a matter of, it's not something that doctors are looking at from start to finish on a consistent basis.
Right.
So we have within the ACT coaching program, the GAP scorecard. And so it does allow for us to, in one screen, be able to see from the dollar coming in to the last dollar going out, and then landing on where are we in profitability. And you don't really have that. Like you just said, there is no document you're getting from your quarterly reporting or your CPA that gives you all that in just one screen. You're having to pull your P&L. I think it's a very valuable tool, but like you said, it's not if you don't tie it in with your cash flow and be able to see your financing activity and understand your tax estimates. Because that's a big piece of it too. You get to your quarterly or your annual tax bill and you're like, holy cow, I don't have money in my account to take care of that. But when you're seeing it all at one time and you're looking at these gaps every single month, okay, what was my gross? How much did I write off? Where was my net? What did I collect? Of what I collected, where did it all go by way of the expenses in my business? What did I get paid? What did my associates get paid? And then we have a line item in there where we encourage teams to set aside or plan for an estimate of what your taxes would be each right. month. Take that quarterly estimate, break it out month over month over month, because guess what? You can't actually spend that $18,000 that you think you have in profit this month. You need it for when those taxes are due. Yeah. And so being able to look at those cash flow pieces is really imperative, because what you see on your P&L when we get a pat on the back that says like, oh, I did a good job, or your CPA is saying you're doing great, like shout out to the CPAs that help dentist to see the whole picture, because that's only a piece of the puzzle. Right. And so when we can really see that month over month, and I can say to someone, you know, how much reserve do you have to be able to continue to facilitate this negative $6,000 of profit every month, or negative $8,000 of profit every month? And they're like, not a whole lot. Great. What do we need to do right now to pull you out of a deficit? What can we do in which of these gaps that's going to give us the most impact right away? And everyone wants to jump right to, I got to produce more.
Right.
And it's like, no, stop. Yeah. Maybe, right? Maybe. But before we do that, because we call it the effort gap for a reason, there's so much effort that goes into producing more from you and from your team. Let's first make sure we're getting everything out of what you're already producing. Yeah. We can come back to that conversation of, do we need more? But in the end, I want to help you get to where, you know, you're profitable. And I know that's all any dentist wants, is to see that there's profit, there's money in the bank. I can take a vacation. I can know my practice is fine, and I'm not stressed about, you know, buying an ice cream cone and the Mickey Mouse ears all in the same day, because we're good.
I've been there. Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah. So well said. And if you're listening to this, you're like, I'm just going to revamp everything. No. Every successful change process, and I do mean every successful change process, starts with one step. It's telling the truth. AA has to start with, I'm an alcoholic. I need to change. You know, a weight loss process, where are we at? You doing comprehensive dentistry. Let me find out where you're at, Mr. and Mrs. Patient, before I even start to help you. Same thing. So you got to figure out where you are at. The GAPS process helps you. We actually have that first step. It's called an assessment. You don't have to like it, but our team will do a complete assessment of your practice and dispel any rumor and tell you where every dollar goes. You'll freak out. You will, but we won't leave you there. We'll show you how to fix it.
I mean, you might be pleasantly surprised.
You might be. You might be. And what that really speaks to is the data. So that's the third component. You got to lean into data. Right now in the state of Wisconsin, people are up in arms because Microsoft is coming here and they're going to build a 2.5 million square foot facility that does one thing. Guess what it does? It's data. Like, what the heck are they doing? Data is the new world solution to a lot of people's problems. And you have to use this incredible tool. According to a 2022 DentalLock Economics annual practice survey, or 50% of practices do not regularly analyze more than one or two KPIs. They don't even know anything. A lot of them are still using the KPIs from 30 years ago, which are what? Production, well, collections. I was
saying production, collections.
Which, you know, I don't, it just doesn't.
Production, collections, new patients. It doesn't. We got a third in the mix.
Yeah. And so we're privy. We have our friends at Dental Intel. And what they've done is they've given us the keys to what the DSOs use, which is the DSO platform. And it's like crazy visibility on practices. Now, I'll just tell you what the DSOs do. They have this plugged in all of their practices to compare performance in each op in hundreds of practices. They can identify inefficiencies like hygiene reappointment. Sally in practice 92, her hygiene reappointment is 53%. Let's get her paired with Nancy, who's at 96%, and overnight they can transform an operatory. Now, I don't know what to do with that information other than tell you it's happening, but like, here's the cool part. It's so cool because it's right there. They thrive in data. Data tells you everything. And if you have children and they play baseball, there's an app that has changed everyone's life. It's called the Game Changer, because you think your kid's going to play in the major leagues. You think your kid is the greatest kid that's ever played baseball. And then one day the coach makes your kid either sit the bench or bat number 9. And you're up in arms. You send an email to the coach. You're like, my kid's going to the major leagues. Rah, rah, rah. And then that coach opens up Game Changer and shows you that your kid is batting 100, which you're like, wow, he should probably be sitting the bench. The data doesn't lie. The data tells us which kid.
It's so funny that you bring that up. You and I are both sports parents, and we have so many stories and analogies. I sit there, and sometimes when I'm watching a game and I hear parents, rah, 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 and I want to think to myself, man, I wish we all had right. stats in our lap so I could be like, actually, she doesn't suck as bad as you're over there saying that she does. I think that it would cause a lot of peace amongst sports parents if we had data in front of us. And it's no different than the peace that we get in our practice when we can use numbers and not our feelings or this, like, I get emotionally flooded because there's all these holes in the schedule. Wow, the practice is falling apart. Like, okay, let's calm down for a minute. Let's look at the data.
Yeah. And speaking of calming down, like, here's the coolest thing about data. Data is unemotional. It doesn't lie. If you and I are talking, if I'm a dentist and I'm talking to you and you're a team member and you're talking about how we don't have any data, we're just having a conversation. It's probably going to get emotionally charged. We're just having a conversation about how you feel. If we're looking at data, we can talk about what's happening. This is truly what happened. And we can come to a solution together. It allows practices to identify inefficiencies. What's so cool, I can't do this, but Miranda or our coaches, they can pull up the dashboard and go, oh my gosh, I don't even want to know where this practice is. Doesn't even matter. I can see opportunity. It shows us opportunity everywhere. Like, you can look at the annual patient value on a practice. You already know whether a comprehensive dentist or not. You can see a world of possibility. It is crazy how much it tells us. It also
shows. You're the idea guy, but you just gave me an idea. Now
tell
I
me,
want to make
tell
a
me.
Resource that's like, here's your feeling. Here's the data you should go look at to see if that's actually
true. Oh my gosh, that is brilliant. Do you know how many relationships we might save with that tool alone?
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, a coaching call, when a feeling pops up, if I pull up Dental Intel and go, let's dig into that feeling.
Yeah.
That feeling of panic goes away pretty quickly. We might still find a data point that confirms our feeling of anxiety, but guess what we can do? Now we can pinpoint exactly what's contributing to that and create a plan to solve it. Otherwise, we're just hashing out the feeling with no resolve, and that doesn't feel good. So right. I might have to take that one day and do something with it.
You better, because we could use that right away. Could you imagine if you went to the middle school and you said to the teacher, how's my kid doing? And they go, well, we don't keep data here. We just give stars and high fives. You would go, I got to get my kid out of this school. You know what I mean? We need data. Data shows how people are doing, and it gives us the opportunity of what to do. This is where we can really bring big, and I do mean big, differentiation back into the equation. Little by little, you can change a practice. So let's bring it home, Miranda, before we start talking for another hour on this. You give us the final takeaways on this.
Well, a great practice, the culture, the that outcome that you're looking for. We talked in the very top of the webinar about the freedom that comes from owning your own practice. Like tying that all back together is you can design what you want your practice to be, the purpose that you're fulfilling, the culture that you're creating for your team, for your patients, but it has to be by design. We don't want to just leave it to chance. And you can't chase every little flashy thing that you see pop up in a chat forum or a magazine or on Facebook. You have to really stop and reflect on your own self. And that will then allow for you to dig forward into differentiation. You can really stop and say, what are the things that we value most? What are the competencies that we want to create here in the practice and the people that we want to serve? And honestly, write it down. Write it down and create a strategy around differentiation and a strategy that you can share with your team so that you can all align together on what it is that we do differently here that's going to help us thrive when there's four dentists within a 3-mile radius of our practice.
Yeah.
And then from there, once we have that differentiation, in order to know if it's working, we have to look at the data. We have to look at those little gaps in the practice and say, what's working and what's not? Where do we need to tweak? Where do we need to focus this quarter? Hey, maybe you need to focus on all four gaps. Well, you can only do kind of one at a time. So dig in to where you have the most impact. And then that's where your team hones in for the next 12 weeks. We're honing in on this gap. And here's some data that we're going to talk about, that we're going to track, that we're going to lean into on a regular basis that's going to help us to figure out if we can make an impact. Because again, if we're talking about small practice thriving in this slowly evolving and changing world of dentistry, we have to do something different than we did yesterday. And so looking at what we've always done isn't always going to work. And what types of things do we need to modify or change? We got to set ourselves apart. And then we have to be able to tell, are we winning in this game of differentiation or not? And that's what the data is going to tell us.
Yeah. I just piggyback on that too, because you don't have to change everything. I'm a big fan of don't strive for perfect. Perfect is terrible. All you have to do is make progress. And that's the cool part. You know, you can do this on your own if you want to, but I'll tell you what we do. We do incremental changes and keep practices consistent every quarter based on their overall strategic plan. That creates consistency. It also creates progress because when their perio numbers go from 3% to 14%, everyone goes, holy moly, that's crazy. Or their number of days worked in a year goes from 220 to 200, but they make more. They go, holy moly, that's crazy. And what you do is you start to layer confidence. It improves your culture. People start to feel the difference here. You can't fake how people feel in your practice. When they look at you as not a hot-winded bag of air who's like, we're going to do this, who somebody's actually does something quarter over quarter, they believe in you. They go like, I love this place. You're crazy, but like get back there and do that. Like they start to believe in the mission that starts to happen. You know, lack of consistency is the signature of mediocrity in dentistry. So when you can be consistent, you can use the data, you can improve your practice, you become different a little bit quarter over quarter, you'll wake up one day and go, wow, we're an overnight success, but that took 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how it transforms a practice and a culture. And then one day you go to your practice, you get out of your car and you go, I love this. I don't know how this happened, but I freaking love going to work, man. I can't even believe we're here. I work 182 days a year. I make good money. Like my team's happy. We all get out of here at 3 o'clock. They get to go pick up their kids. Like you say to yourself, this is the greatest profession ever. But it starts with you making that decision.
I love it.
Anything else?
I was going to say, if you want to stop sharing for just a minute.
Sure.
Actually go first because I know you wanted to show the.
Oh, you're going to make me press this green button again.
Yeah. Those final takeaways.
All right, cool.
Yeah. If we go past that to the golden ticket.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Sorry, not that one.
This one.
Keep going.
Next one.
That didn't get updated. Yep. There you go.
All right. So here, I mentioned this at the beginning. So we have our, you know, you want to do it in a group. I encourage you to do this. Being an entrepreneur is lonely. It's hard. Don't talk to yourself. 80% of self-talk is negative. You're the worst person to talk to when you need help. You need to talk to somebody else. And so we have a group of other dentists. It's called the To the Top Study Club. We actually hold it here in Milwaukee. You come hang out with us. It's one of my favorite things we do. And here's why. Selfishly, I get to learn so much. Like, yes, we're going to present a lot of information, but it is so cool to learn from 50 other entrepreneurs who are dentists in this country to go, I don't do that, I did this. You're like, holy moly, that's so cool. It's one day, it's from 8 to 3, and you can come and kick the tires for free as our guest. We'll roll out the red carpet. We don't really have a red carpet. We should get one. But like, you could come hang out with us. We'll feed you. We have a coffee barista here. We have breakfast. We have lunch. You're going to meet some amazing people. You will crazy be inspired. I tell people all the time, like, you ever taken a course for 4 days in like Scottsdale? And then your first thought is this could have been condensed into one day. I have. This is the opposite. We take 4 days of information. We condense it in one. You'll be overwhelmed. You'll say to yourself, this is a lot of information, but you won't leave empty handed. And you'll leave with a community of people committed to helping you get better. And you can see it for free. It's called the Golden Ticket. If you email Courtney on our team or Gina on our team, or you can email me, Kirk at Act Dental. I'll roll out the red carpet. Well, we don't have a red carpet. We're getting one. So we'd be so happy to have you. Come join us. I promise you, you'll love it. Any last thoughts before we say goodbye?
Well, yeah. So I just put Courtney's email in the chat. And I was just throwing it out there if anybody has questions. So the CE is in the chat. Courtney's email is in the chat. If you guys have any questions, we have just a couple of minutes. I always like to open up if there's, you know, one question that you would ask a coach around this about your practice. If you want to ask, feel free to throw that in the Q&A if you don't want it to be in front of the whole group, or if you just have any quick questions, Kirk and I have just a couple minutes. If you pop anything in there, we'll be happy to answer it for you. But otherwise, no, I think this is fantastic. And I'll add one little layer, because it kind of speaks to a conversation that I was just having with some dental team members recently. So I was in Michigan and we were talking with the West Michigan Dental Society, and it was dentists and their teams. It was great. We had a wonderful day. It was really awesome because there were so many team members in the room that were just really into learning, which I love. And I think that there's these myths around Big is taking over and right. DSO is taking over. I do think there's also some myths around there are no unicorn practices left to work for, kind of thing. Like there's this commentary, and dentists may not always hear this, but I'm also in these team member forums because I was a dental hygienist. Well, I mean, I technically still am. I just don't work chair side anymore. So I'm a license. I worked admin. I've been in multiple seats in multiple practices. So I understand both sides of this picture. And I'm in a lot of these groups for team members. And I'm telling you, the story within these groups out in the dental profession is that it's not a rewarding career anymore. Like, it feels like grunt work for a lot of team members nowadays. And I'll see posts or I'll hear things about like, what are you guys doing that's not dental hygiene? I'm thinking about going back to school. Or there was just one the other day, and gosh, I wish I could just call these people up and just give them like a pep talk, because it was like, oh man, I just signed up for a dental assisting program and I popped into this group so that I could start connecting with dental assistants. And now I'm scared. Like, do I want to do this? Because the commentary out there in the world is just so negative a lot of times. What I think is also so beautiful about what you can create with a thriving private practice is that we can create this culture and this space that team members want to be a part of. And if we could get that message out there, so we have other podcasts and webinars about this, and we can come circle back to it. But just as much as you differentiate yourself as a thriving private practice to your patients, you can differentiate yourself as a thriving private practice to team members. Yep. And you can create this differentiation that brings people to your team that really want to also serve and take care of people and be taken care of in the way that you are. There's team members that just want to be respected in these roles. And I believe that that happens every day. I see it with the teams that we coach. Some of the most fantastic team members and the most fantastic relationships between the doctor owners and the team members. And it just comes down to differentiation and culture and intention and designing this place where we're serving a more meaningful purpose. And so I think it just carries over into that side too, because Lord knows hiring and keeping and finding team is hard everywhere right now. And I just want to shout from the rooftops to every team member out there that's like, it sucks. No, it doesn't have to. There's these great practices that are ready for you to come on board.
That is so well said. I say that all the time when you say this, because you hit a nerve every time you say that stuff. But like, I see that as the opportunity. That's the golden opportunity in dentistry. You don't think there's good people out there. I hear that. There's no good people. No, there's a ton of them. They're just not working in your office yet. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how you find great people? You don't. They find you. Mm-hmm. Eventually, over time, because you're consistent, you get the coolest team members who are like, how do I get a job here? I'm telling you firsthand, it's not easy. It takes a long time. But when you get there, you're like, holy moly, you spend 30% of your life at work. You got to be the ultimate talent magnet for that opportunity. And I'll speak to the team members too. There's a lot of practices out there. You just got to search for them. You got to find the right person, the right value system, and it changes everybody. And I'll leave you with one last thought. I'll say it collectively. If you do this long enough, you're going to learn there's a magic in the world of business. There's a ladder out there, but it's not the top that's crowded. It's the bottom that's crowded. You go to a massive dental meeting, everybody's doing the same thing, complaining. Like, there's a few people that are at the top. They're like, I don't believe what they believe. No, I have regular hours. I charge my own fees. I get to, like, it's the bottom that's crowded. Why would you care what anyone pays? Like, why would you care what everybody else does? Put your flag in the ground, decide what you want to do. And what's really cool is you practice in the United States of America. You could try something. And if it doesn't work, you can change it. And that's why we're here. I believe you could have a better practice and a better life. That's what we're all about. If you believe the same thing, join us. We'd love to have you. Miranda.
Oh, that was like mic drop, Kirk.
Yeah. Woo. This has been fun.
I'm proud of us. 301. We're only 1 minute over. Go us.
Yeah. Transparently, like, I'll tell you guys what's going on here. Like, we're having so much fun because we've combined these communities. We've really stepped into who's good at what, like having some more fun doing this. And we've just met some incredible people. And for me, that just gives me energy. Just gives me energy that we're going to leave dentistry in a better place than we found it. And I don't think that's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. So I'm excited to be here. I got great people surrounding me like Miranda, and you can have it too as a dentist. And you as a team member can have that. So join us, figure out how to do that. So Miranda, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. This was awesome. Thanks for everybody who came and hung out with us for an hour in the middle of your Thursday.
You got it. Until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep showing up for all the things we're bringing, because we're going to keep bringing it. You guys are the best. Enjoy your week. Enjoy your weekend. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.